We remember the famous parable of Jesus, which says, "Occupy till I come." Jesus Christ gave a parable of this man who was going to a country, a nobleman who was going to receive a country unto himself. And you know, before going, I think he went back to his 10 servants and gave them 10 pounds. You see this parable in Luke chapter 19 from verse 12. I just want to browse over that, and that is not the major topic. I just want to briefly talk about this parable before I move into the main topic. So you can see he gave his 10 servants talents. And he went on his journey far away to conquer this land that was due unto him, to receive unto himself a kingdom. Of course, we know that nobleman today is Christ. And Christ is the one that God has appointed to inherit all things, including we. We know that individually we are kingdoms. Individually we are nations. See, we are peoples. And Christ must take over that kingdom that we call ourselves, so that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of Christ. Now it is written in, you see this in the book of Revelation, as the seventh angel was about to sound his trumpet, or as it sounded his trumpet, the voice from heaven, you know, shouts and thunders declared that the kingdoms and the nations of this earth, of this world, have become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. So you see, whenever you hear of, you know, conquering a kingdom, bear in mind that the will of God is that Christ rule and reign in us. So at the end of the day, it is only Christ, the true creature of God, the light being of God, that actually reigns in this kingdom. And when Christ reigns in this kingdom, there is no more death, there is no more sorrow, there is no more pain. See, because he is light. See, light and darkness don't mix. It is, once he reigns in you, every fruit of death is abolished. So he has to put everything in us under his feet. Now, when he went away, there are 10 servants, only the servants actually yielded more money. They put the money of their master into work and yielded some more money. But only one of the servants kept the money, hid the money underneath. Some accounts say underneath the ground. Praise God. Now, when the master came back, the nobleman, he saw that the servants, most of them, had, you know, yielded more money. They traded with the talents he gave them, with the money he gave them, and yielded more money. Except one who hid the money, who kept the money aside. He did not utilize the master's money. Of course, the master was displeased with this person. See it? And he took away, you see it, that one, you see, which hid his talent, he took that money away from him. That talent represents the spirit in you. That talent represents the Christ in you. The Christ in you represents life. It represents everything that God represents. It represents immortality, incorruptibility. It represents the very attributes of God within every man. Every man has that pound, that money, that gift, that talent. See it? But there's one of them, like we said, who did not do anything with the money. He just kept the money there. And, you know, the master was angry with him. You know, he called him a wicked servant. Other accounts call him slothful. That's lazy. Lazy servant. See, and he took the talent from him and gave it to the other ones who worked. And he said, to him that has, more will be given, and to him that does not have, even the little that he has, will be taken away from you. This is a continuous process. This is the thing that happens when a man does not utilize that thing that God has given to him freely. See it. Praise God. See, when we utilize that gift that is within us, which is the Spirit of God, what happens is that this kingdom within us becomes the kingdom of the Lord. Then we can rule and reign with Christ in His kingdom. See, but those who do not allow this thing to work in them, they go down a slope into greater sorrow, greater spiritual ignorance, greater darkness, greater sorrows, greater pain, greater destruction. It's an endless pit until you make up your mind that you want to follow on to know the Lord. Praise God. So in other words, what Jesus Christ was simply saying is, occupy yourself till I come. That is Luke chapter 19 verse 13. If you have the Spirit of God illumined in you, you will understand that Jesus Christ was saying, exercise yourself in godliness till I come. Exercise yourself in godliness till I come. And when did I say He comes? He comes within you. It is the unveiling of the incorruptible Son of God within you, the inner spiritual being within you. That is His coming. So first of all, you have to Occupy yourself. Don't be idle. Don't be slothful. You see it? When you're idle, you just carry on in the illusion of your mortal existence. That is idleness. Spiritual idleness is lazing around and carrying on in the darkness of this age. Lazing around and carrying on, you know, and occupying yourself in vanity, in the things of men. And many of us realize that the things of men are vanity. The things of men are just temporal and things that pass away. They don't have eternal substance. Praise God. So occupying ourselves till He comes, till Christ comes in us, till Christ is manifest in us, is the same word Paul uses in his letter to Timothy. In Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it says, But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth what? Little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of the life which is, of that which is to come, that's the life that is to come. See, there are two types of ways a man can exercise yourself. You can exercise yourself in godliness, which is spiritual exercise, exercising yourself in the spirit, or you can carry on in bodily exercise. See, which is the exercise that is we see in this world today. When people exercise themselves in the things of this natural, temporal, material world. You can exercise yourself in mortality. You can occupy yourself in the things of men. See, you can go on building castles in the mud. Or you can get this revelation of the incorruptible God within you, the image of the incorruptible God within you, and exercise yourself in that mystery. Praise God. Now, those who exercise themselves in godliness, that is, in the mystery of godliness, which we're going to read now, are those who continue on forever. Are those who will realize that mystery that is hidden within them. These are the ones that are awakened to the mystery of the ages. They were awakened to the reality of that incorruptible divine life within them. And they will walk in that life. They will, you know, enter into that reality and walk in it even while they are right here. See it? And you can, like Paul says, that he says that this is profitable not just for this present life. See it? But also for that which is to come. How many of us realize that this thing, life here, is temporal? So if you look around for Paul today, I bet you wouldn't see him. If you look around for John today, I bet you wouldn't see him. See, some people are still waiting for to look to hold Jesus and to hug him. And I assure you, they'll keep waiting forever. Praise God. So we must exercise in ourselves in the mystery of godliness. Exercise ourselves in godliness. Occupy ourselves till he comes in us. This is the exercising that a child of God is supposed to do. Day and night. When you wake up in the morning, while you are walking day and night, while you are doing your daily activity, while you are in the train, while you are eating on your table, while you are interacting with your family members. See it? Wherever you are, you must bear in mind this sacred mystery. Don't let it go for one moment. Don't let it go for one moment. Don't be deceived. Don't be distracted by the things that you are seeing around you. See, don't let the pressures outside, your bills, your financial situations, health problems, family problems. Don't let these things distract you. They are not there. You wake up one day and you discover that these things are not there. Please, well, rather exercise yourself patiently in the mystery of godliness. Let us not be slothful like the wicked servant who had this thing with him and he kept it. You see it? When you keep this talent within you, it means you just carry on in your flesh, in the foolishness of your flesh identity. It means you just carry on living as a mortal. So that's bodily exercise. That is exercising your flesh, edifying your flesh. Trying to beautify and, you know, immortalize and glorify your flesh. You see, but we have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh has no eternal value. See, one moment it's here, one next moment it's gone. Praise God, the only way you can benefit is to recognize this mystery of godliness and to attain unto it. Exercise yourself in it. Praise God. Occupy yourself. See it. Praise God. Now, somebody asked, what is the mystery of godliness? I'll just quickly go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. These are scriptures that we've read before, but we have to still go back. You know, we have to remind ourselves of these things daily. Even I who preach, I have to still meditate on these things. You see, we have to remind ourselves daily. See, I have to continue preaching. I have to continue speaking. See, even as at times as I stand, I speak, as I preach, I'm being edified. I get new things. That's more and more lightning. That's why it says, to him that has, more will be what? Given. More revelation. More illumination. More awareness. To those that have. To those that exercise themselves. Praise God. But when we don't exercise ourselves, even the little idea of God that we have will be taken away from us. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up into glory. Now, when people read this verse here, see, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, there's a tendency for people to limit this mystery to Christ, to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. See, but if you know the mind of God, see, the mystery of God is a mystery that continues on and on throughout the ages. See, it's a mystery that is unveiled from age to age before the nations. People are still expecting some kind of end time move. That something will happen. A great sign will happen. Suddenly the sons of God will be manifested. You see, the third day church, the end time church, something will happen in Israel. See, God is moving again in his power. End time moves. That's a great revival. But brethren, let me tell you something. That mystery of godliness that Paul talks about here is a subtle mystery that goes on and on over the ages. I tell you, you know, some months back I had made a research on the internet. And you know, I was shocked that even some of these things that we preach today, you know, some people knew these things. Some people preached these things even before I was born. I'm talking of much later after the apostles. People preach these things in the 50s, in the 40s, in the 30s. Even, you know, before the year 1900. You know, people preach these messages. People walk in the reality of immortality, incorruptibility. You see, but let me tell you, like John says, the world can never know them. Said, if they had known Jesus, then they would know them. Don't you understand? That thing that happened, if Jesus was to appear here today, like he always does, people will not recognize him. Don't you understand? The world cannot see Jesus. See, even as he manifests himself through his ministers, through those who have held on to the mystery of godliness, the world cannot ever understand or discern his presence when he comes. It's impossible. See, they can't hear his voice. They can't discern. They can't see him. Jesus Christ says that if they do these things to me, they will do it to you also. He was rejected in his generation. He was called, you know, a false prophet. See, they accused him of trying to be equal with God. This same thing is done this very day and is repeated over and over and over and over again. But people are asleep. They're not aware of it. Hallelujah. But you who hear this message today, you are awakening from the dead. Hallelujah. You are awakening from the dead. Say praise God. You are awakening from the dead. Hallelujah. You are awakening from the dead. You who can hear the voice of Christ today, you are being awakened from the dead. Awakening from the deadness of humanity. Humanity looks out for signs, but you get the message. You get the mystery. You hear the mystery sounding in your ears, and you begin to exercise yourself in this mystery. In the mystery of godliness. Amen? God was manifested in flesh. I would change that to say God is manifest in the flesh. This is the mystery of godliness. God, the invisible, the incorruptible, the spirit, made manifest in the natural. Make manifest for all men to see. And is made manifest through who? Through you and through I. Praise God. And as he's manifesting us, we become witnesses of God. See, we just become like signposts in the midst of a perverse generation. We become like lights shining in a dark and crooked perverse generation. Signposts showing people the way. Revealing the invisible God, revealing the attributes, the beauty, the perfection, and the glory of God before the nations. Praise God. God was manifested in flesh. He was seen by men and angels. Seen of angels and preached unto the Gentiles. Right. Praise God. You see, the only time you can ever see God in the flesh is through us. See, and I tell you, it's a very great spectacle in the spirit. Your eyes need to be open to see the gardens in the spirit as they watch you. See, forget the natural realm. In the natural realm, people go about their business, they work according to what they see. See, but in the spirit realm, they see and they know who is who. They can discern better in the spirit realm. Praise God, at times you have meetings, very few people turn up. They're not interested in spiritual things. But let your eyes be open in the spirit. You see angels in these gatherings. You see spirits of men who didn't attain to perfection trying to tap of this flow that is flowing from the body of Christ in this hour. See it? You will see your departed relations who couldn't attain to perfection trying to tap out of that water, out of the water that is gushing out of you, out of the revelation of Christ flowing through you. Praise God. Sing by angels and preach unto the Gentiles. See, those who manifest this mystery of godliness do also preach the mystery of godliness. Those who manifest the mystery of godliness preach the mystery of godliness. See it. They also preach God's kingdom. See, they preach the reality of life beyond this natural realm. See, because that eternal realm, that realm beyond the veil is apparent, is open for those who walk in the light. You can have your members upon the earth and be very conscious and aware of God's kingdom. You can have your members upon the earth and your reality be flowing in God's kingdom. You can have your body upon the earth, but in reality, be standing before the face of God. See, and that which you see beyond the veil is that which you preach to the Gentiles, so that they may be what? Saved. So that they may be believe the gospel and be what? Be saved. Praise God. It is only through the announcing of the gospel, only through the sounding of the trumpet that the gospel is ever heard. It's only as God from generation to generation descends and uses earthen vessels to preach the gospel that souls are saved, that people hear the mystery of the ages and enter into their rest. As he comes to deliver those who are bound in darkness, who are bound in chains, who are bound in spiritual prisons. Even when Jesus Christ came, Peter writes in his account that those people who were disobedient in the days of Noah, he preached unto them. He went into he came down to and preached unto those who were rebellious. You notice when Jesus Christ was going up into the, going back into glory, when he resurrected, many of the holy prophets resurrected with him. Many people resurrected with Jesus. Yeah, people that died before Jesus, long before Jesus Christ came, they heard the gospel. Jesus was the appointed vessel to liberate them and to take them into glory. Hallelujah. Now, those of us who, you know, exercise in ourselves in the mystery of godliness are appointed vessels to also minister deliverance unto others. Because some people have to see God in you. They have to touch God in you. They have to smell God in you. Hallelujah. Before they believe. Preaching is not just talking. It's also demonstrating. Demonstrating the power. Demonstrating the love. Demonstrating the patience. Demonstrating the attributes that mortal man does not have. Praise God. Then taking back up, receive back up into glory. Hallelujah. Those of us who preach the gospel will be received up into glory at the end of that ministry. This is what Jesus Christ demonstrates when he was taken up into the cloud at the end of the ministry. He was in the cloud right while he was here, but he still had a human aspect of him to contend with. Likewise, man, some of us still have the body. Even as we minister the mystery of God, of godliness, even as we demonstrate the mystery of godliness, but bear in mind that the end is in that same cloud. Praise God. The end is that this physical body is dissolved so that we can become fully present in that cloud. Praise God. That is where we finish. That is the invisible cloud of God. The invisible body of God. Praise God. So, we are called to exercise ourselves in the mystery of godliness. That same thing we just read just now in 1 Timothy chapter 3:16 is what we have to put on ourselves and exercise ourselves in. Exercise ourselves in the mystery of God. God is incorruptible. God is immortal. God is eternal. Praise God. We must recognize that part of us, within us, that is God. See, because we flew out of Him now. We're getting these things by revelation. We're receiving remembrance. He says what? Jesus Christ says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before this world was. Meaning, Father, glorify me. Return me to that perfect, celestial, spiritual, immaculate state I had with you before I descended into mortality, before I descended into incorruptibility. See, Jesus Christ tasted of death. That death he tasted of was corruptibility. That death he tasted of was the human life he experienced. That is the death he tasted of. See, death is not just something physical. Death is, you know, living in mortality. If you live in mortality, in the flesh, as a human, you are dead. See, but God wants to restore us back. See it. As long as you retain your mortal identity, your identity upon the earth as a human being, as a mortal, a mere mortal, you always have the problems of humanity around you. You always have your sorrows. You also have the pains. You always have your worries. You always have lack. You always have fear. It's tribulation, endless tribulation. When you wake up in the morning, it's a new page of tribulation. It is continuous. It never ends in your human mortal life. For just write it down today. When you think something is going well, I just want to relax. Something else pops up. You cannot get rest as a mortal. So, but if you wake up to the reality of your part in God, if you wake up to the reality of immortality, incorruptibility, if you wake up to the spiritual aspect of yourself, see it. That is what will cause you to overcome the world. Jesus Christ says what? I have overcome the world. In me you have peace. In the world you have what? Tribulation. In the world means in the flesh. In your mortal existence as a man, it's only tribulation you have. There's no peace. See, but when you awaken to this mystery of godliness, when you first of all hear it, perceive it, you sense it from afar off, now you begin to exercise yourself in it. Exercising yourself, it means confessing it. Confessing it does not mean that you go out to the street and start shouting, I am Son of God. I am immortal. It doesn't mean writing books. It means exercising yourself in it. Your mind has to be changed. Your mindset. And now let's quickly turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was what? Also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God. He didn't say anything wrong with that. See it? It is men that call it robbery to be equal with God. Hear that? I remember I preached something similar to this some years ago in a church, and the pastor came out and told the congregation. You know, he tried to mock me before the congregation. He told them, look, are we like God? The whole congregation said, no, we are not like God. He now asked them, are we immortal? The whole congregation said, no. You know, they laughed at me. They mocked at me. See, but that thing, you know, fulfills what Jesus Christ says. Jesus Christ says that the Son of Man will suffer many things. he will be mocked at, spat at, and rejected by this generation. They will call you a heretic. They will say, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? See, they said that you started hearing new doctrines. New age. See it? Spirit of devils are at work. They've taken over you. You've gone into apostasy. See it? You're fighting against the body of Christ. You're warring against Christ. That's what they will say. See it? But Paul says that let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, meaning that he had the revelation that he came out from God, that he was an express image of the invisible God. He had the revelation. But flesh and blood, we call that robbery. We tell you that you are trying to make yourself equal with God. That is the mind. Flesh and blood is the mind of man. And that is the mind that rules in religion, is the mind that rules in these moralistic systems of men. And as long as we have that mind, we cannot enter into God's kingdom. You must put aside that mind. Put on a new mind, the mind of Christ. See, this is the exercise that we are called to do. Praise God. Now, if you put on the mind of Christ, it means that you can confess that I and the Father are one. Now you confess it by the way you comport yourself. You confess this in meditations. It starts off from within you. You begin to exercise yourself in the invisible. Exercise yourself in the incorruptible. It means that you begin to arise above the human desires, the human lusts, the weaknesses of the flesh. You begin to exercise yourself in divinity. You recognizing that your incorruptible nature. See it. You know that God cannot be tempted. God is not a sex maniac. God is not a glutton. Are you hearing? God does not, you see it? He does not lie. He does not have to please men. He does not receive glory from mortals. You begin to exercise yourself recognizing the attributes of God in meditation and begin to rediscover yourself. Jesus Christ says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess ye your souls. You possess your souls patiently in meditating, in remembrance, in, you know, exercising yourself in the mystery of what? Godliness. Exercising yourself in the mind that says that I and the Father are one. That is what will save you. That is what will purify you. That is what will lift you out of the dust stream, out of the pit, and cause you to sit upon the throne. Praise God. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Amen. I go down again, verse 7, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took up the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore God also has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things underneath the earth, and that every tongue shall what confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Praise God. Humble yourself to the death of the cross. You know that the will of God is that we die. Amen. When you die to the cross, it means that death of the cross means death to your human, your mortal existence, and awakening to the reality of Christ in you, the inner spiritual man in you, awakening to divinity in you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm waking to God in you. Praise God. This is the will of God. Praise God. This is God's pleasure. God exalted him. See, and God will exalt you as you do these things. As you humble yourself, let go of the vanities of the pride of life, of the pride of human living, and begin to walk before the face of the Father day and night. Oh, hallelujah. He will lift you up, hallelujah, and set your feet upon the clay. Praise God. And he has placed him at the right hand of God, the place of power, the place of pleasures, the place of rich life, the place of security. No fear, no more torments. This is the reward for those who exercise themselves in godliness, in this mystery. Oh, hallelujah. Serving the saints, recognizing Christ in the saints, recognizing the body of God, and serving the body of God in humility. You know when Jesus Christ stooped down to wash the feet of his disciples? Do you know who he was seeing? He was seeing God. He was seeing the Father and the disciples. And that is our attitude. Our attitude is supposed to be down like that, humbling ourselves in the act of worship and washing the feet of the brethren as we confess the mystery of godliness and pray the mystery of godliness. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And God gave him a name. A name above every other name. Now, brethren, that name that the Lord gave Jesus is an eternal name. It's not a name that is known of men. See, it's a name that has been forever, from eternity. It's an invisible name, an unnameable name. Oh, hallelujah. It is a name better than the names of sons and daughters. Oh, praise God. He gave him a new name. And that is the new name he gives every child, every son that follows the path of Jesus, the example of Jesus, by humbling himself to the death of the cross, letting go of his mortal life and taking hold of divinity. Oh, praise God. Everything in our human life has to die so that we can hold on to that which is true and real. Praise God. You have a revelation today. You must begin to exercise yourself in godliness. Confess it. Speak it. Not just out in the street. In you. Confess Christ in you. Anybody that confesses Christ will be saved. Isn't that what the Bible says? This is your key to salvation. There's no other salvation anywhere. Are you listening? Your key to salvation is recognition and confession. Exercising yourself in godliness is confessing yourself in godliness. It's occupying yourself till he comes. Till he comes in you. Hallelujah. Like I've always said, Christ is the only one that enters God's kingdom. No man can enter God's kingdom. Nobody can enter God's kingdom. Only Christ. So when you discover the inner man in you, which is Christ, you enter. Automatically, he is already in the kingdom. He's the one created perfect and holy by God. He's the one that inherits all of God's creation. He's the one that everything in heaven and on earth is subject to. Praise God. So patiently, we must exercise ourselves. Paul says that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with what? With fear and trembling." You see it? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, hallelujah, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. But do all things without murmuring and disputes, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and, you know, perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Amen. Oh, praise God. These are very powerful scriptures. Amen. Say, walk your salvation what with fear and trembling. Are you listening, brethren? Every day, every second, urgency. Take this thing with urgency. Walk your salvation what with fear and trembling. Walk your salvation with fear and what? And trembling. For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and what? Without disputings. And what is God's will and good pleasure? To give you his kingdom. It's to cause you to realize Christ in you, to gather you in Christ. That is God's will. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. When you have Christ, you have God's kingdom. When you have Christ, you have God. All things in heaven and earth, all power in heaven and earth is with you when you are in Christ. Oh, praise God. So you can become sons of God in a crooked and perverse generation. Now, sons of God, sons of light, sons of the Spirit. To those that have believed, he has given them what? A power to become sons of God. Those who are not born of the will of flesh, nor of blood, but the will of God. Praise God. He has given them power to become what? Sons of God. First of all, through your belief, through your acceptance of this testimony from heaven. If you have believed with your heart and confessed Christ, he has given you power to become what? Son of God. Sons of God are not flesh, eh? God does not bear flesh. Spirit. Praise God. So it means we have to put to death our bodies upon the earth. Gradual process. Begin to walk as spirits. All your lusty or ideas after the fashion, after the ways of men, have to die off gradually. Die off, die, reduce. Until you walk absolutely as God upon the earth. Praise God. As you walk in this, all these things begin to fall out of you. All those earthly traits. See, those with the fruits of men. Jesus Christ described men. He said, out of the heart of a man comes out all kind of evil thoughts. Jealousies, lust, hates, angers, bitterness, strifes, contentions, gluttony, blasphemy, everything, all the evil comes out from within man. A mortal man of the dust, because he is subject to vanity. And within every mortal man is an endless flow of iniquity that continuously defiles him and causes him to face rebuke in his conscience. He can't stand before God. You see, but Paul says that we stand without rebuke, sons of God, without rebuke in this wicked and perverse generation. We can stand in this, in the flesh, we can stand as sons of God in this world without the rebuke of the nations. Without the sense of wrath, without the curse hovering over our heads, without condemnation. Oh, praise God. But we do this only as we believe, receive this testimony, exercise ourselves in Christ. Praise God. Then that seal, that nature that is subject to vanity is overcome. That pit within you that flows with endless iniquities overcome. The hurts are healed. Hurts from what brethren did to you. What your brother or your sister did to you. What your parents did to you. Hurts, pains, habits are conquered as you begin to know God in you. Sicknesses and diseases are conquered. Because your light personality, your Christ personality cannot be sick. It cannot be destroyed. It's there forever. It is life itself. Praise God. You become a quickening spirit as you exercise yourself in godliness. So this is our call. Exercise ourselves in godliness. The world, like we know, will exercise themselves to win a perishable crown, but we do so to win a crown that is imperishable and eternal. So brethren, let us do this thing. Say it. God told me, let us be less talkers but more of doers. Praise God. Just standing in that place, standing in this revelation day and night, and you know, walking in it, exercising yourself in it, in the spiritual attributes of God, confessing to your mind, seeing things the way God sees things, walking in the spirit daily. Praise God. And you will discover yourself there. This is the will of God for our lives. Amen.